Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
He'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa.
On this Monday evening, we will take the time to preview tonight's national championship game, the highly anticipated, much awaited battle between unbeaten LSU and unbeaten Clemson. And we will do that with the best college football analyst there is, and that's Gary Danielson. Gary, welcome. How are you?
Mike, you were close. It was much anticipated, but it's been a long time.
That's my first question to you. Do you worry, since December 28th, this is way too long, and I think it's hurt some of the buildup for the game. I think it's taken some of the steam away from this dream matchup. Do you worry, Gary, these guys keeping these teams sharp for this game?
No, not that. I worry that, you know, worry's not the word, but just as an observation, I mean, I like to watch football. A lot of people love to watch football. We all watched all weekend. You see the ratings. Millions and millions of people. And are they going to watch tonight? I don't know.
I think they will.
Yeah, I just think for the national game, though, you know how the final.
I agree. Listen, I agree.
It holds the nation. This is not holding the nation.
I totally agree, especially at 28th of December, long right. time ago. It killed the rest of the bowl games, absolutely killed them. I mean, I played golf during Michigan-Alabama to tell you how bad that is. I mean, so think about that. I was
I
in Florida.
That,
yeah, I mean, so that's how crazy it is. I mean, I have to admit, it bothered me. I loved it, especially how good, let's be real, how good was the Clemson-Ohio State game? It was a great game.
Great game, yes, and listen, I just thought, you know, coming the day after the big NFL weekend, this is the NFL's biggest weekend. You got the four games, doubleheaders, going into Sunday night. You're barely in talk radio and talk TV now. You're barely going to get one segment on this game.
No question. And not only that, you had baseball come down
exactly.
with this bombshell today.
Exactly.
And you know what? I am one of the few guys who's going to preview it because, you know, I care about it, and I think a lot of my audience will. So.
I know. ESPN and ABC,
yes.
you know, they have the game. And they're trying – I don't know what the
But I agree with you. I think everything you said is true. I think it's too long. I think they have to do better.
Right.
And I'll tell you this. I never thought – I would be behind them expanding it, but I think now they are going to expand the playoff.
Ooh,
I think it's going to happen. I think now they have heard everything else so much, I think they need to expand the playoff. I really do.
Well, I think clearly this is going to be a tough year to expand because clearly there was three teams better than everybody else this year, and that showed up in the playoffs. But let's just go back. I just think the Monday after the biggest day in the NFL is a tough sell. Now, I know, you know, they want their Monday night game, and I get it. That's a trademark for them to have. I think it should be before. The way people get hooked, I think the people, football watchers, have accepted Thursday as a football night.
I agree.
I'm wondering why they can't have this game Thursday night
before the
big weekend of the NFL.
And Thursday is a very good TV night. It's one of the biggest TV nights. Other than
Sunday,
it's the biggest.
I need to rethink it.
Yes, I agree.
Too long, too far into the NFL playoffs.
I agree.
It's hard to get the people. That said, we got a good football game.
All right, here we go. Now, let me ask you these because you can answer them better than anybody. Number one, has anybody ever had a better year at quarterback in college football than Burrow?
I think one of the three best years. I think Cam Newton took a team that was devoid of players. I think there was only one other NFL player on that team that amounted to anything, and that was, you know, Nick Fairley, a defensive lineman. Cam Newton carried that Auburn team that year almost by himself. I think Vince Young at Texas, and now I think what Joe Burrow has done this year at LSU are the three greatest years by a quarterback in one single season.
To win one game, would you take Lawrence or would you take Burrow?
I'm going to take Burrow because of the age right now. You know, Joe Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson. He is a veteran football player, and Trevor's going to get better next year than he is this year. So in one game, the tiebreaker for me is the experience of Joe Burrow. But, you know, it doesn't mean Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he beat Tua last year. So what Trevor brings, and I thought Dabo was very smart about this, I've got three or four advantages on the board that I think Clemson can take.
Number one is his running ability, clearly.
And they didn't use it. That's what I think Dabo was so smart about. It was like a jockey that didn't put the whip to his horse through the whole three quarters of the race. He just let it kind of run and didn't really, and everybody was like, what's wrong with Clemson? He knew he couldn't ride this team too hard until it got close to that final stretch where he could say, all right, you ready to play? Because we're going to play now. And he did not run Trevor Lawrence, and you can see what a difference he is. Because if you watch the Ohio State game, Ohio State had the better team. Should have beat them.
Yep.
Easily should have beat them. Top to bottom, you know, they get their running back hurt. They leave two touchdowns on the board. They got a fumble touchdown called back, and they lose one of their best players on defense on a targeting call. And they still had the ball in Justin Fields' hands to win the game.
And threw a terrible interception.
Well, the receiver pulled off. I'll give him that. It was a terrible interception. I don't know if it was all his fault, but
gotcha.
It was a tough interception. But, yes, Trevor Lawrence's running, they saved it, and that could be one of the advantages
I agree.
Of this game. That they could take advantage
of. Now, let me ask you one other one, and then we'll get back to the game. I make you the general manager of the whatever team you want, Detroit Lions, whoever else you want. 10 years, you're taking Burrow or you're taking Lawrence?
Oh, that's a great question. I was hoping you would ask because I don't think there is an answer to this. I mean, it's Marino Elway-ish.
Wow.
I really think they're going to have that type of
So you
of
think
impact.
Burrow is going to be really good?
I my comparison, everybody's took a lot of comparisons.
It's Brady's, you said.
No, it wasn't. I didn't exactly, but I could see where people have used that comparison. I said there are attributes about him that are Brady-esque. But the way he plays, he's a much better athlete than Tom. He plays like an old-timer that I played with. He plays like Kenny Anderson. Okay, he's
oh,
much
that's
more
right. You
athletic.
Did use that. You did say that to me before,
yeah,
Kenny Anderson.
And
Kenny Anderson was a wonderful player.
He was
a tremendous player. Yes,
tremendous player for the Cincinnati Bengals. More athletic than Tom's the greatest.
And deadly accurate. And deadly accurate.
He was a 65% passer when the rest of the league was
absolutely
55% passer.
Absolutely.
So that's why I think Cincinnati's going to take him. And listen, Trevor's going to be good, but he's going to get better. Trevor's not there yet. He still doesn't quite understand it in the offense he runs, but his upside is spectacular. I'll give him that.
Now, Ohio State gets 500-plus yards against Clemson. This is not the Clemson defense of the past 2 years. We know that. I make you the defensive coordinator tonight. Against this guy, how are you going to be? Are you going to drop and cover? Are you going to blitz? Are you going to mix it up? What are we going to do to get this guy off his mark?
If you watched the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, one thing I'll give credit to, and Tony was all over it, is I don't know if there is a defense for a quarterback like this. Okay, and I don't think with the weapons that Joe has and his experience and the way he's got NFL coaching now and the tough games that he's played, no individual defense is going to work. You know, you do have to do a bit of everything, but you also have to understand, and I go back, you know, I played my ball in Detroit, and I was there when the Pistons were playing and they were taking the championship away, you know, from Michael Jordan. And Joe Dumars always had the assignment to cover Michael Jordan, and Joe used to talk about it, that you can't get down about the fact that you can play perfect defense and he's going to put 38 to 40 on you. You have to still run back down the court and play the same tough defense again. And that's the toughest thing when you face these great quarterbacks, is you can play perfect and he might put 38 points on you. And you just can't get down and start gambling and go outside of the defense. I really think Clemson, and you're right, they're not. They lost three number one draft picks, Colleen Farrell, Wilkins, and Lawrence from last year, and their fourth guy, Mullen, was also drafted. I mean, they're not the same defense. They're not going to match up against this LSU offense. What they really have to hope for is Brent Venables does kind of what he did to Tua last year, catch him in a couple bad plays. I mean, all year last year, Tua did not have a bad game until he nicked his ankle against Georgia, and he had his worst game in the championship. This year, it'd be hard to find a game, maybe Auburn. I did that game.
Why was the Auburn game? Now, well, his number, first, they had 500 yards offense. Why did they only score 20 points?
All right, here's the answer. They did exactly what Alabama did to Clemson last year in this game. They put close to 500 yards against a extremely talented Clemson defense. They stopped them in the red zone. And Clemson did the same thing to Ohio State. Ohio State went up and down the field, and they forced them to kick field goals in the red zone. That's what Auburn did to Joe Burrow. But I don't see Clemson doesn't have a Derrick Brown.
Those kind of linemen, no.
Exactly. Well, I don't know how they can rush three. I don't know even how they can rush four. They're going to have to blitz him, and that they're just going to have to hope he misses some throws. They need a B game from Joe Burrow, and I don't even know if he had a B game against Auburn. Auburn was very talented that day, and their pass rush was effective. He just didn't score touchdowns. They still put over 500 yards up against Auburn in that game. They just didn't score touchdowns. The same formula they used against Ohio State is what they have to do to LSU. They have to force them to kick field goals.
Gary, we're talking about Gary Danielson. You do the SEC. You know how good the SEC is as a league. It's ahead above everybody else. We know that. In his last, including the Oklahoma game, where he was outrageous, okay, where he could have thrown 10 touchdown passes. His last touchdown pass came with 25 minutes left in the game.
Right.
He could have thrown 10 touchdown passes. He threw 7. His last 6 games, 25 touchdowns, 2 intercepts against Georgia, against Alabama, against top teams, 25-2. 7 in the last game, and they've averaged 53 points in their last 5 games, and that's counting top SEC teams in Oklahoma.
Well,
can anybody keep them in the 40s?
Well, I'll give you a positive and a negative on that, okay? This ain't Oklahoma they're playing.
Right. Oklahoma's defense is embarrassing. I agree.
It was hard to watch. On the opposite side, they're going to get the best player, his best weapon back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't even play. So they're going to get better on offense. But, you know, Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator for Clemson, he's used to big games. He's used to playing against big quarterbacks now. Boy, he did not do much with Justin Fields. This is not an elite Clemson defense.
It's not. Clemson outscore them?
That's what they got to do.
They do it?
You know, when I was watching the game yesterday and Houston was up 24-0, what I think if I was Bill O'Brien,
what a
I
dumb told, movie made up.
Well,
you can't fake that punt. Like that made no sense.
I wasn't for that either. But I would have said something else to my team. We got 3 quarters. If we can score a touchdown a quarter, they can't beat us. As long as we don't turn the ball or we score a touchdown, they don't have enough time to score enough points. And that's what I think in this game is, you got to put up, Clemson's got to look at this and say, we got to score. I mean, we're not going to hold these guys.
But Clemson's not going to go short fields here. They're going to score in chunks, too. They're going to take the field in chunks, well, which means they're going to score quickly. And if you score quickly, they're right back on the field.
Here's the advantage that Clemson has in the game. They can hang their hat on, I think, three things offensively.
The running of the quarterback, number one. Yes.
At the speed of Etienne.
Etienne's a wonderful player. He's an underrated player. Yes.
And he's fast. And he catches short passes and makes long games.
No question.
LSU plays man-to-man. He could gash them. And in Higgins and Ross, because LSU is going to play bump-and-run man-to-man coverage all over the field, they've got 2 6-foot-5 receivers going against not small corners, Stingley's 6'2", but those 50-50 balls they catch. They did it against Alabama. They did it against everybody. They could make the man-to-man coverage of LSU pay.
So now, it's 40. You look at you're telling me you're
I think
Clemson,
they got to get in the 40s.
Your Clemson prescription is they're going to have to score over 40 points to win.
And that's where I go to the Joe Dumars thing. You've got to tell your team that you just got to keep putting your hand up, making shoot it over your hand. I'm not comparing them to Michael Jordan, but the mindset is, just because they're scoring doesn't mean you're playing bad defense. And sooner or later, if we keep doing it well, we'll get a break. Joe Burrow will throw one of those passes that he hit against Georgia and he hit against Alabama and he'll throw one a foot short and we'll get it. And that's what they got to think about in this game.
You see LSU as much as anybody. You watch the SEC every week. You know how good the league is. You know Clemson inside and out.
Yep. I don't know.
Can anybody stop LSU?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think LSU can. The LSU team, the most underrated part of their team is the part we haven't even really talked about. I mean, their defense is now getting healthy. Clavion Chase on his back, he's healthy. They're inside players. They got a nose tackle, Tyler Shelvin. Tyler Shelvin's his name, number 72. He's a monster. Everybody in the league talks about the fact that if you have any chance of running the ball against LSU, you got to handle the nose, and he's almost unblockable inside. He's 340 pounds, and he's one of the best football players in the league that nobody even talks about. They're tough. They are good defense. They get caught because they play man-to-man a lot, and you can get big chunks, as you mentioned. But their defense is vastly underrated, and then they're flexible in their offense. Thaddeus Moss is a tough matchup, Randy Moss's son, and Clyde Edwards, they'll line up all over the field. They use NFL type of pass patterns and strategies. And Joe Burrow is a fifth or sixth year player. I mean, like I said, he could be in any other sport. He's 2 years into the pros already.
Did Burrow emerge because of the offensive coordinator, or is there another reason why it took him this long to emerge?
Well, first of all, he needed a little of experience in playing. He hadn't played football in 3 years. So last year, even if Burrow and the same system was there a year ago, there would have been a growing curve for him, just getting ready to play football again. But there's no doubt that 2 years and a better system than last year has put everything together for Joe, and he's been extremely focused. He's a good, tough football player. He is extremely motivated. He's as cocky as he comes. Now, that is a Brady comparison that holds up. I covered Tom at Michigan. He went through all that stuff with he and Drew Henson back in the day, the Yankee player played it.
I remember he took his job. Yeah.
They battled. Remember, they would each play a quarter, and whoever had the first half, and it just... It really grinded on Tom because he thought he was the better quarterback, and he carried that chip all the way into the NFL. Well, Joe's got that same chip and that same competitive instincts, and which shows on the field. He's extremely confident. He made a lot of great plays a year ago. The team and his growth, it just wasn't ready for where they are this year.
They scored 37 against Georgia. They scored 46 against Alabama. They scored 63 against Oklahoma. They scored 50 against A&M. They scored 50 against Ole Miss. They scored 50 against Arkansas. They've averaged 53 their last five games. They are a runaway train right now.
I would say that you go in this game and you pretty much can tell your team, if you're Brent Venables, if we can hold them in the 30s, we can win this game.
If we can, I mean, so the target is to hold them in the somehow keep them under 40 points.
That's what I would say. If I would, now, you know, there's no coach that says that. But I think when Dabo and Brent get together and they say, Brent, sell to your team that they're going to score. Don't lose confidence. That's what I've been telling them. That's what I'd be telling them for 2 weeks. Now, he's going to come up with some stuff. He always does. But, you know, as Joe Burrow said, and he was quoted as saying, he says, I don't even know why I watch film anymore. He says, the last half of the year, anything I watched on tape, they did not play in our game.
Is LSU ready for this? I mean, you know, that they've had this emergence to the big time. We wondered if they were ready for Alabama. Were they ready finally to take their spot here? It seems like they've been more than ready. Are they ready for this last step?
I think they're going to feel some pressure playing at home. Often teams do. It's going to be almost an 80% LSU home team crowd. If things don't go well, they could press in this game, feeling the pressure of closing out this season. Reminds me a little bit about the 2011 team that played Alabama in the 2012 National Championship in the Dome. They wanted to finish it so bad. They wanted it was at home. They had a perfect record going in the game, and they were tight in the game. You know, playing at home sometimes does do that. But I don't think their face – I just thought Alabama was a better team than the Clemson. Let's put it this way. If this was – if Dabo's hearing this, it's too late for him to hear this.
It is.
So he won't be able to use this.
Right.
And he's been a master at playing the underdog for a team that's been undefeated 2 years in a row, okay? But to me, if this was a seven-game series in other sports, I think Clemson would be fortunate to steal a game in this.
Wow. Season. So they're going to have to play a perfect game tonight.
I think so. LSU is going to have 7 to 10 first-round draft picks playing on the field in this game. Not this year, but over the next 4 years playing on this field.
Unbelievable. Thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate it very much.
Mike.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
Gary Danielson back after this. So LSU and Clemson, and I agree. Clemson is very good offensively, have big receivers, great back, tremendous quarterback who can run and pass, and he's going to be the number one pick in the draft next year. This year will be obviously the LSU quarterback, who has been just sensational. This LSU team has been a juggernaut, averaging 53 points against top-level competition in the last five games. 53 points a game. I mean, that is stunning when you think about it. So if LSU kept them to 37 and won this game 38-37 or won it 41-40, it would be a great job all the way around. I don't think LSU is going to be under 37, 38 points minimum. I don't think they'll be under that. Could Clemson score them in? They could, but Clemson is not a great defensive team. They're a good offensive team because they really gave up a lot of yardage to Ohio State. They gave up 500 yards in the game. They gave up 300 passing. They gave up 174 yards to Dobbins, who I think is a wonderful, I think 184 yards, as a matter of fact. It's a wonderful running back, going to be a very, very good pro. Now, of course, the other story, and I'm sure Steve Summers is coming up after me, will be dealing with that, will be the baseball. Like I said, Manfred, right job, suspension, very fair and very very right on the, very much pinpoint right on target. I think the owner did the right thing in getting rid of them. I think it's going to be a long time for them coming back, and it sounds like Cora's in for the same fate. Now, does he get fired too? Let's see what suspension is, and I would not be surprised if he does. And I'll tell you, it's going to be a hard, long time for these guys to come back, because I think the suspensions might be 1 year, but you know what? I can't see anybody hiring them. What owner is going to, you know, put out the buffet table, lay out the shrimp and the roast beef, and say, guys, we're moving into a new era. Here are the guys that we are going to believe in. Oh, really? What a feast that will be. Imagine. So let me get this straight. You care nothing about integrity. You care nothing about anything. You hired a guy who did. Not easy to do. Maybe 5 years from now, the manager gets another job. Maybe he begins a slow reclamation of his image. But boy, I tell you, it's going to take years and years for that to happen. These are not one-year penalties for these guys. They could wind up being lifetime penalties for these guys, because although they may be free to come back in a year, baseball is going to turn a very, very cold shoulder to them for years and years to come. And you know what? rightly so. And it sounds like, and I know no one else who was not an authority there, Cora would not have gotten in trouble for Houston. Beltran is in no trouble for Houston. None of the players are in trouble for Houston. But Cora's in a bunch of hot water for Boston. And if it is as bad as everybody thinks, then I think he could be looking at the same fate, both in terms of suspension, some places you're hearing more, and in terms of him walking the plank. And you can see Boston in the throes of a major rebuilding process out of this. I think they are headed in that way where they'll break this down, make some trades, and start over. They've won a lot recently. They can afford to do that. They're not afraid to do that, while the Yankees fear doing that. So the Yankees, who are the 5-2 favorites to win it all this year, really could have a very softened American League on a year where they are the strongest they've been in many years. Steve Summers is next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.